Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. Glad to have you folks with us here tonight. And there's a couple of things that you just need to be aware of. Tomorrow from 1:30 until 3, there's an opportunity to receive personal prophetic ministry. And if you're interested in that, there will be clipboards coming around shortly for you to sign up. And the idea would be to sign your name and give at least two options that, in terms of time. There's time slots, and if you put your name in there and then pick a time slot and a second time slot, we'll try to hook you up with time slots. And we'll let you know before you leave tonight where you're assigned so that you get an opportunity to collect on that sometime between 1 and 3 o'clock tomorrow. There's the 3 o'clock service, which Fount will be sharing. And then there's a meal somewhere between 4:30 and 6. That's spaghetti meatball meal. And if you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet, which helps us to figure out how many people to cook for. If there's only going to be 10 people, that's one thing. If there's going to be 40, that's a different number, you know. So the cook needs to know a little bit about that. So if you're thinking of you'll be a part of that meal here, sign on the sheet that talks about spaghetti dinner. There's two different sheets that will be coming along during the service. I've asked Keith Kane to come and share his thoughts about receiving the offer.
I've had a few things that the Lord has run through my knower, as George would say, since he asked me to take the offering. And one of the things that the Lord has really placed on my heart recently is when David was going to make a sacrifice, he was going to build an altar and make a sacrifice to the Lord, and when he asked for the threshing floor to purchase it, he was told he could have it, and he said he would make no sacrifice to the Lord that cost him nothing. And in among that, also, the Lord has been speaking about the workman being worth his wage. And so, also, Malachi speaks of bringing the whole offering into the storehouse. And when the Lord said that one to me, I heard him say that Fount is one of his storehouses. God has poured into this man over the years wisdom beyond anything that I could probably ever attain. And so I just really feel like the Lord is saying to be sacrificial in your giving tonight. Because in that Malachi scripture, it says that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. So I believe just put your heart before God and ask what he would have you give tonight. Checks can be made payable to Onward Ministries. That's W-O-R-D. And they will go directly to Fount. So Lord, I just ask, Father, that our hearts would be touched by you tonight, that we would hear that which you're saying to each of us individually, Lord. that you have poured out on us more than we can contain already. And I know that you have even more for us this weekend. So I ask, Lord, that those windows would be open over us and that your blessing would pour out on us. I ask, Lord, that you would touch Fount also, that he would hear the now word for us this weekend. And we just bless him right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless, spotless Lamb of God was he. Now in heaven let it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen. What a Savior. Not only did he live and die and was buried, he was raised again, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And so what we have in the way of a Savior is not something that used to be, it's something that is now and forevermore shall be. We're really thankful to have Fount here tonight, and again tomorrow it will be a real pleasure to have him sharing his heart with us. He brought his wife with him tonight, just to make sure that we all understand he has one, and it's real. It's not a make-believe, and so she comes to keep an eye on him, make sure he behaves, and so we can take it easy and just let him loose and find out what happens. It's all up to you, Linda, to keep it square. Bless you, brother. Yep, you're good.
Can I hear me? I can hear me.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Just in case you wondered whether I really was married, here she is. And I think
thank Stan always gets so caught up in his teaching, sometimes he forgets I'm here. So I'm really blessed tonight because he remembered I'm here.
He reminded me.
But I do. I just wanted to try to express my heart and my appreciation for what I see here and just to thank you for it. And I know that your pastor must have already taught you and fed you in this, but tonight, one of the things I've been really seeing how important is that we're spirit beings, and it's important that we nurture our spirit. And I just want to thank you for the worship time tonight and how my spirit was nurtured, and I'm sure yours was too. And I think that even prepares us to receive more of our Lord and of His Word. And so I thank you that I can be here with you.
I'm thankful she can be here with me. Okay. Am I hooked up okay? Here we are. When George emailed me and gave me the topic for the weekend and asked me, will this be okay? Or do you want to do something else? This is so much in line with what God has been speaking to me personally for several months, actually. Living in the light of the resurrected, living Savior. I like it. I wish I had time to take word by word that title. And I'm going to do some of that. But I'm going to start out with light. You're probably not surprised. I'm starting with the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The amazing thing that I notice in this text is a connection between the Word of God and God Himself. And Jesus is the original, authentic Word of God with a capital W. And if what I'm saying tonight is His Word, then the Word that is coming out of my mouth is God. Now, that's not being proud. If it's not the Word of God that I have to speak to you tonight, I need to sit down and let someone else get up here. Anytime a person comes to the pulpit or in any position to speak to God's people, he should have a word from God. And if the word is from God, then it is the word of God. And the word of God is God Himself. The fact that it's coming out of my mouth does not change the fact of what the word of God is. In the beginning was the word. And that word lives in you guys. Whenever he became flesh, dead, buried, resurrected, and returned and poured out his Holy Spirit, the seed of the Word of God is what birthed you into the family of God. We are born not of corruptible seed, but of the uncorruptible, the living an abiding Word of God. It's the Word of God that came into my heart, impregnated me with the Holy Spirit, and brought forth a new creature. So we were born of the seed, which is the Word of God. And one thing I know is that seed reproduces after its own kind. Now, if the Word of God is the seed that produced the new creation in you, the new man, the new woman in Christ, then what are you going to be when you grow up? A Bible. No. What are you going to be when you grow up? An authentic expression of what God has to say to your community through you. Now that's where we're headed, guys. I'm not there yet, but my goal is to so mature in Him that when I show up in the room and when I open my mouth, the Word of God comes forth, and it is a genuine expression of what God has to say to the community that I'm speaking to. But it's not just my words. My life. And that's why I like the living in the light. Now, incidentally, the biblical way of saying that would be walking in the light. Because living means the thing is alive. But I don't want to just be alive in the light of the resurrected living Lord. I don't want to just be alive. I want to be walking with Him in that light. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I want to walk in it, not just live in it. There are many people living that don't do much walking in the light. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but let's go. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made. That which was made in Him was life, and that life was the light of man. The life was the light of the life of Jesus Christ is light for mankind. Now, later on, a couple of times in the Gospel of John, he says, I am the light of the world. And, of course, we say all things about that. But what I want to talk about in the beginning of what we're doing here tonight is how John perceives this light. His life. Therefore, he also said, you are the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world, Jesus said. But he also said, you are the light of the world. And that doesn't mean I go around beaming. That means I live in such a way that light comes across. And this is what I want to understand. The first thing that I want to understand. In him, that which was created, I put the period in a different place here. And I have permission to do that. I'm a Greek scholar, so it's okay. That which was made in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, comprehended it, or however you want to interpret that. But I want to begin by realizing the light that we're talking about is not something that comes from the Lord. It is Him. It is His life. It's not only the life that He lived in the flesh here in the earth. It's His life in Keith. It's His life in George. It's His life in you that is the light of man. And so I want to try to pursue that and understand it a little bit deeper. Most people, when you think of light, and we'll go to this verse later where in 1 John he says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. How many of you walk in the light as he is in the light? It's amazing, we're in church and no one is raising their hands. How many of you have fellowship with him? All the hands go up. How many of you walk in the light as he is in the light? Why are we reluctant to hold our hand up on that part? And that's where one of the things we're going to establish here. So what does this mean to walk in the light as he is in the light? So I noticed that in verse 9, this true light which gives light to everyone. King James, I think, says enlightens every man. And many people think that the word enlighten means it makes them smart, makes them see stuff, makes them understand things. Have you been enlightened? That is not the way John is using this word. Because everyone in the world is not enlightened. Am I right? But this says it enlightens every man. That's what I'm after here tonight. What does that mean? This light that enlightens every mind was always coming into the world. That was what came to Abraham. That is the one, the light which is the Lord Himself, the Word of God, light coming to Abraham and bringing exposure to him. The light that came to Jacob, the light that came to Daniel, the light that came to Moses. It is Him that it is He who came. So here it says this true light was always come into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. This light, which enlightens every man, was in the world and nobody knew Him. Notice the light is a person. Did you notice that? The light is a person. They did not know Him. He came to His own. His own did not receive Him. Well, I thought this light enlightens every man. Why didn't they receive Him? If walking in the light means what we think it means, or if being enlightened means what we think it means, this text has a problem. And I've wrestled with this, as most of you know, for many times. Now, in verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is in the bosom of... No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is in the bosom of in the Father's bosom. He has made Him known. The phrase which is translated, made Him known, is a phrase that literally means to make a thing known by a narrative, to tell a story. And His life story reveals the Father. Later on, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing on His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. The Son can do nothing on His own accord. I used to think Jesus can do whatever He wants to. He's like King Kong. Where does King Kong sleep? Wherever He wants to. Yeah, that's the way I used to think of Jesus. And Jesus didn't say the Son chooses to do nothing. He says the Son can do nothing apart from the Father. What He sees the Father do, He does likewise. So what is this seeing? In order to see, there must be light. So seeing and light are together. Now, incidentally, I know where I want to go tonight, but I don't know how to get there from here. I'm using my GPS. You know, and there's a few stops along the way, and I know where the stops are, but I'm going to just have to depend on the GPS to help me get there. So, I want us to move to chapter 3 now. And this is a text we're all familiar with. It begins with God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. God did not send, verse 17, to condemn, but in order the world might be saved. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. And then, in verse 19, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds or their works were evil. This light came into the world. No one knew who it was. In the Old Testament, we need about 6 weeks to go through Old Testament and show what this means in the Old Testament. But the amazing thing here is this is the judgment. It's not God up there with a gavel and passing out sentences on people. The light is there and they love their dark ways, so they walk away from the light just the way a cockroach does. You turn the lights on, the cockroach... Do you have cockroaches up here? You guys don't know what those bugs are. Go south sometimes and meet a cockroach. Actually, you're not likely to, because when you turn on the light, they're gone. You just have to sneak up on them. And that's the way many men and women are. Anytime they're almost exposed, they hide. That's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. The fig leaves is all about running away from the light. It's all it's about. Because the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord was walking in the garden. How many of you knew voices could walk? Now, some of the modern versions say the sound of the Lord walking, but it's the word voice. Well, the voice is the word coming forth, okay? So they hid from the light. And you go through a whole Old Testament, people are hiding from the light and actually killing those people who bring light. They persecuted the prophets. Okay, I got to move on. We got stuff to do here. They loved the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Now, I want to deal with this word exposed. The purpose of light is to expose what's there. If you're walking in a dark place, why do you want light? Light's a good thing, I know, but why do you want light when you're walking in the dark? You want to see what's in front of you so you don't stumble, so you don't fall in a hole. Is this what light does? It exposes what's there. And these people, the light comes into the world, and that is Jesus Christ and His life. His lived life exposed them, and they hid. They walked away from it, lest their deeds be exposed. But he goes on to say that whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his or her works have been carried out by God. Whenever the light comes and you don't run away from the light, then it becomes obvious that God is doing something. You run away from the light, you may never find out what God is doing. Okay, so we've looked at that. I want to go to, let's see, chapter 8. The woman caught in the act of adultery. And we're not going to spend a lot of time with this story, but many have not really paid attention to the fact that this, right after this story, in verse 12, again Jesus spoke to them, and that would be the Pharisees who had walked away from the light. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Remember, light and life are together in the beginning of the Gospel of John. You want that life, you want that light, then don't run away when you're about to be exposed. Okay, so let's go back to the story. We know the story. The Pharisees want to trap Jesus, so they caught a woman in the very act of adultery. I don't know how they knew when, but they have their ways. And if you can imagine this, a bunch of Pharisees with their righteous robes walking into your bedroom while you're doing it. Because if they are not caught in the act with witnesses, there will be no case in court. And so they bring her to Jesus, and I doubt seriously they gave her time to dress real well. They want to make a point. And they brought her to Jesus. Moses says, stone her. What do you say? Now, if he says, stone her, then everyone will think he has no compassion. But if he says, don't stone her, then he's going against Moses. That is the kind of a trap they set for him. Now, remember, Jesus, as Son, can, in his fleshly form, can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. I think he knelt down to see what Father is doing. Father, this is kind of a tricky deal. I don't know how to answer this thing. In one place, Jesus said, I only speak as my Father speaks to me. So he's asking the Father, how do I deal with this? And the Father is the one who said, tell the one without sin to cast the first stone. And so he stood up and said, the one without sin, cast the first stone. He knelt back down. One by one, they walked away. Now notice what happened here. If any one of them reached down to pick up a stone, he's claiming to be sinless. And his buddies know. Well, we can't do that. But if he does not pick up a stone, he is confessing that he's sinful and also should be stoned. They fell in their own trap. That's what light does. It exposes your hypocrisy. We think it exposes those dirty little sins that you do. Well, might do that too. But most of all, Jesus is into exposing hypocrisy. That's what he's doing right here. And right after that, he said, I am the light of the world. But let's go back to the story. They all walked away. She's standing there, exposed. Remember the word exposure and light go together? She's standing there, exposed. Now, she actually did not have to remain because, according to the law, if there are no witnesses, there will be no day in court. But she remained in the light so that the work of God could be manifest. She stayed fully exposed. The concept of walking in the light is walking in exposure. What you see is what you get. Just a side note, what were Adam and Eve hiding in the garden? They were ashamed. What were they ashamed of? They were ashamed of what God created and called good. And if you've got shame in your life, you're ashamed of something God created. Now, I know we've all done things we need to be ashamed of. That's not the shame I'm talking about. But let's go here. This woman is still standing there. Where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, many people read this as though he's now putting the law on her. But remember who this is standing in front of her. The eternal Word of God that created everything. It's the creative Word of God standing right in front of her. And when he said, go and sin no more, he empowered her to overcome her issues. Because she was willing to remain in exposure. The Pharisees were exposed and they walked away from the light lest their deeds be exposed, but they were exposed anyway. Because walking away exposes you as one of those who love darkness. Darkness meaning, our word for it today is denial. No, I didn't do that. I don't have a problem. Everyone else got a problem. I don't have a problem. Then Jesus went on to say to them, there's a discussion here. In verse 21, he said to them again, I'm going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Accusing Pharisees of sin? Well, they just proved it by walking away from the light. You will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Is he going to commit suicide and so forth? Now, what I want to see is light is exposure. It shows what's there. And it showed this woman to be a spiritual woman. And it showed the Pharisees to be hypocrites. Living in denial. Now let's go. Okay. something, a miracle, a work of God was wrought in her life because she remained. That made her spiritual. Okay? She didn't stay because she's spiritual. No. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let's go to 1 John. And we're starting with chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. God is light. God is love. That's not something God does. It's who he is. God is light. Light is not something he does. It's who he is. And the eternal word of God is life and light. When he shows up, things are exposed. Now, what is exposed very often is these people are paying no attention to real life. They're sleepwalking. They're dreaming that they're living or having nightmares or whatever. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, and a bunch of you raised your hand when I asked you, do you have fellowship with him? If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, and no one raised their hands when I ask if you walk in the light as he is in the light. So there's something going on in this text. If we say we have fellowship in him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, which includes him. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if walking in the light means living a sinless life, you don't need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you. Did you follow that argument? Did you see that? Walking in the light does not mean living a life with no sin. It means when the light shines, I walk in that light, fully exposed as a sinner that I am, and something happens to me, and a work of God is wrought in me when I allow myself to be exposed by the light rather than walking away from the light. He who walks in the light means a person who does not live in denial. You caught me doing that. Well, I was really doing, I didn't mean to do that. Yes, you meant to do it. I mean, I didn't mean to, boy. Okay. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, how many of you walk in the light as he is in the light? Well, I've got a few more people that are bolder. We're in church. Let's pretend that we're honest. You walk in the light. Okay. I know, for some reason, people are reluctant to raise their hands in church because many people trap you. You know, I got you on that one. I hope I'm not doing that. Notice that he says, right after that, verse 9, if we confess our sins, and this is the people who walk in the light as he is in the light, confessing their sin is walking in the light. He is faithful and just to do two things. Forgive us our sin and cleanse us of iniquity. Now, very briefly, sin is an act that you do. Iniquity is the tendency in here that prompted you to do it. The example I like to use, you do not become a thief when you steal something. If the thief weren't already living in here, you would say, "Hey, there's some money here. Whose is this?" The thief was in there before the theft was committed. The thief is that tendency to sin in a particular way, and that's what the word iniquity means. So I want forgiveness for what I did, but I also want cleansing from that which continually prompts me to do it again. How many of you have repented so many times you're beginning, I don't know if I ever want to repent again. It just never works. That's because we ask for forgiveness. We never ask for cleansing. When he washes it out, it's gone. That woman's issue with the adultery was washed out of her because she, by standing and staying, she confessed, "You got me, I'm wrong, I'm guilty." I don't know that she had much choice, but she could have walked away, I suppose. But you follow the thought here. Jesus, God, did a work in her life because she remained in the light, confessing the sin. She not only was forgiven for the sin, she was cleansed of the iniquity. Now, go back to the title of our message. And I'm going to use walking instead of living. Walking in the light of the resurrected living Savior. Walking in the light. I don't know what you think walking in the light means. I guess everyone has a different definition. And I'm not sure I can define it. But I'm beginning to grasp the idea that walking in the light is not living a blameless life. It's not living a sinless life. That's not walking in the light means. It means when I catch myself or someone else catches me doing something that I should not do, I say, "Oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. I'm the one that need that." And this is walking in the light. And when we walk in the light as he is himself, in the light of his Father God who is light, and doing only what he sees the Father do it, his life becomes light to the world. Now, we are recipients of the eternal seed, the Word of God, which means there's life in me that is light for the world. Now, we're going to change gears just a little bit here. When I was teaching at Elam, I taught a course on Christian counseling, and actually it's prayer ministry, not counseling, the way I teach it. But I'm teaching this class, and I would ask the students, what would people see if they saw the deepest thing in you? And the room just fills with anxiety. True? What would other people see if they saw the deepest thing in you? Now, the reason we get nervous and anxious with that question is because we do not really believe in our heart that Jesus lives in here. The deepest thing in you is Jesus Christ himself, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's nothing in you deeper than that. And whenever we hide ourselves and pretend, what we're hiding is Christ himself. We are blocking his ability to come forth into the community that we're called in to walk as light. Not just walk in the light, but walk as light. So I'm changing it just a little bit, but we don't need to worry so much about walking in the light as we need to be concerning ourselves about walking as light to the world. It's my call, it's my commission, it's your call, it's your commission to be light where you are. Which means, it doesn't mean that you go around exposing people with your mouth, which is kind of rude. But so live your life that people get threatened and want to kill you. Okay. We're not living very dangerous Christian lives here in the States. And we think it's because of whatever, but it's because, you know, there's no persecution in the States. Well, there is, but it's not serious like in some other places because we are not living as light. Living in the light and allowing it to reflect through. So remaining in the light allows God to do a work, but it does more than doing God doing a work in you. He begins to let His light shine through you to others, and you so live your life that others are exposed. And some will say, wow, I wish I had some of that. Some will actually, they'll fire you. All kinds of things happen on the job because Christians are walking in the light, as light, on the job site. That is a totally different sermon. Okay, let's see. I've got some other verses marked here. I wonder what we have. All right. Let's look at... Okay, chapter 9, I think, is what I want to look at. As I said, I'm John, chapter 9. What else is there? Is there other books in the Bible? Actually, the Gospel of John, the reason I am so fascinated and intrigued by the Gospel of John is the whole Bible is in here. The whole thing. And I just want to read verse 1 of chapter 9. This is the story of the healing of the blind man. And it says, he passed by. As he passed by, he saw. He was walking in light as light. Saw. The disciples did not see a man born blind. They saw a theological problem. You see what I mean by that? What did the Pharisee? They did not see a man that had been healed by blindness, healed of his blindness. Spirituality is all about seeing. Jesus did only what he saw his Father doing. Our focus is so much trained on the things that are here that we fail to see beyond the natural. So some things are just hard to say in English, hard to say in any language. So I'll say it in tongues and then someone can interpret it. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, everyone has ears, okay? It's not talking about having an ear to hear the noise, the sound, the words. It's talking about discerning ear. And Paul prayed that the eyes of your heart be enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What is the greatness of the inheritance, his inheritance in the saints, and so forth. He's prayed that our eyes would be discerning eyes to see what's really there. Now, tomorrow afternoon in the prophetic time, there will be people there who know how to look beyond the natural. They see. In the Old Testament, prophets were originally called seers. They saw. And when they saw, sometimes they spoke, sometimes they acted. But they did what according to what they saw. Spirituality is first of all about seeing. And we need to learn, we need to train ourselves, allow God to do that miracle of opening the eyes of our, or enlightening the eyes of our heart, the discerning eyes, so that we can see beyond the natural. It's like when Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint a king. He knew he's supposed to anoint a king, and he looked at the oldest, and he saw. But he was seeing with the natural eye. This is a big guy. This is probably him. No, that God looks at the heart, not the at the outward. Samuel, you need to learn to look at the heart. Samuel was also learning. We need to learn to look beyond the natural and see what's there. And if we are in fact light, then that will in fact happen. So he saw the man born blind. And then he said in verse 4 to the disciples, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. It was day for Jesus, but I'm not sure you would call it day for the Pharisees. Okay, I want to get another verse to put with this. We all know the story. He spit, made mud. The guy came back seeing, and they cast him out of the synagogue. And at the end of that, he found the man. And do you believe in the Son of Man? And verse 36, who is he, sir, that I may believe? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and is he who is speaking to you. The Pharisees did not see him. They saw Jesus, but they didn't see the Son of Man. You follow what I'm doing with this text? Can you see this? And he who speaks to you, he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, and the Pharisees are there listening. For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see. And those who see, I think a better translation would be shown to be really blind. Those who see in the natural but have no discernment is the point. And the Pharisees heard him say that. Some of the Pharisees near heard him say those things, and they said, are you implying that we're blind? Denial. Do you see that? There's that word see again. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But since you say, I see, your sin remains. So there's two things happening here. One has to do with light, and the other has to do with seeing. The light of the world gave sight to the blind and exposed the seeing as really being blind. Now, I want to go to the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, which is chapter 11. We're just going to deal with a small portion of it. I think you know the story well enough, we don't have to deal with all of it. After saying these things in verse 11, said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Just a side note here, as far as the Lord is concerned, death is sleep. And I'm not going to do a theological thing with that. I'm just going to go wake him up. I may do something with this later in another session. So the disciples said, if he's fallen asleep, he'll wake up. And so Jesus had spoken of his death, and he said, okay, he died. Now, verse 15. Okay, I missed the verse I went here for. Verse 10. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles. How many of you ever noticed that? He stumbles because the light is not in him. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. That's why I said it's daylight for Jesus, but it's night for the other people who are around, because they have chosen darkness. And we're, of course, speaking of the lack of discernment and all of that. Okay, I forgot to ask what time I'm supposed to be done. About 3 in the morning, be okay? I see some people getting nervous. They don't know me yet. It's going to be 5 in the morning. Okay.
Sorry about this, guys. You know, my eyes don't work the way they used to. I know this thing is there somewhere. Can you hear me okay? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Now, this text on the surface looks like it's something totally different. But here is a man who trusts in the Lord, who fears the Lord, and obeys the voice of the Lord. And he trusts in the name of the Lord, and he has no light. And a person who is able to trust in the voice of the Lord can walk in the darkness, because the voice tells him when there's a pit. The voice tells him when there's a stumbling block. And this basically is the discerning eye of the heart that we're speaking of. Now, I want to tell a story about, I was actually about, as far as I can remember, about 4 years old, maybe a little younger. I don't remember that my little brother was born yet, but if he was, he wasn't with us. But I was about 4 years old, and we lived in New Mexico, very close to the Carlsbad Caverns. If you've never heard of the Carlsbad Caverns, that's one of the world's wonders, wonders of the world. There are literally hundreds of miles of caverns underground. Only 7 miles are open to tourists, but they have what do they call that, where they go? Yeah, they go down in there and look, and they've got pictures and so forth, but 7 miles of it. Now, when I was 4 years old, they didn't have the technology where you walk past a little spot and the little thing in your ear tells you different stuff, what's there. So there was a guide. And our family, along with other people, it's 7 miles down. And we had to walk all the way, 7 miles. Began before sunup, and we walk, and there's this, and there's lights inside the cavern, they turn them on, and the lady that's the guide, this is this, and this is that, and this we call the bottomless pit. Now imagine a 4-year-old boy, bottomless pit. And she instructed us, don't throw anything in the pit. How many of you know 4-year-old boys? I never thought of that. I actually had a little pebble. And as I walked by, I flipped it over there and I listened. Tick, tick,
that thing really had my imagination. I mean, I don't know what's down there, but it's deep, and I knew it. So I just wanted to give you that picture before we go on. Now, we walked on. There's this this stalactite and this stalagmite and, you know, all of the stuff and, that they talk about. And we get to the area at the end of the 7 miles. Now, we are 7 miles underground. And there's a large area, there's a cafeteria down there, and they have sandwiches and stuff for people. But before we go to the cafeteria, there are stone benches for us to sit on in front of a very large stalagmite that they call the Rock of Ages. And at that time, they had a live chorus down there. And they turned out the lights, and the chorus began to sing, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You got the picture. Now, imagine. God said, I want you to just get up and start walking. Now, you can cut the darkness with a knife. It's thicker than butter. You want me to walk? Okay, turn the lights on. No, I want you to trust my voice. Now, once you get that picture, you begin to understand what this verse is talking about. Those who walk in darkness and have no light yet trust in the name of the Lord their God, and they trust in His voice. Now, God will tell you there's a stalagmite there. You need to step a little to the left. How many of you, you need discernment in places like this? Actually, all of life is like that if we were only awake instead of sleepwalking. Okay. Now, the next verse is very revealing. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, instead of trusting in the name of the Lord, instead of hearing His voice, you kindle a fire. Who equip yourselves with burning torches. Now, this is sarcasm, and to make sure you understand the implication of this verse, I want to read the sarcasm into it. Walk in the light of your fire, stupid. Now, I add the stupid so you get the picture. Here's what you're going to get from me. You will lie down in torment. Your light, your human light, cannot light the path of life in Christ. So I'm saying walking in the light, by the light, as well as light in a dark world. How many of you know this world is dark? That's why we need to shine brighter. So we need to ask the Lord for the ability to trust His voice, trust His name, and open the ears and open the eyes of the heart so we can hear what God is saying, so we can see what God is doing, and like any good son, do only what we see the Father doing. Incidentally, that probably was a proverb in the days of Jesus, where the father trains the sons in the family business to take over the business when he goes. And the training is, you watch me and you do what I do. They learned by watching Father. Jesus learned carpentry by watching Joseph and doing what he saw Joseph doing. We learn to be Christ-like, not by reading the Bible. And I, believe me, I am a Bible reader. I live here. My zip code is B-I-B-L-E. I mean, this is where I live. So I'm not against the Bible, but I'm saying that's not where it is. Jesus himself said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they who bear witness to me. If you read the scripture and see rules and regulation, you didn't see him. You didn't see him. So I'm looking at this and I really want to get to the point where my life is a reflection of his life in me. Where I am on the outside, what he has already made me on the inside. It's not I'm trying to become something I'm not. I already am. I just haven't learned to have enough discernment to release it to the world. And every one of you, if you are born again, you are a son, daughter of the living God with the light of God in you waiting to break out to enlighten the world, this dark world. And when we come into a difficult situation, what do? We light torches. We strike a match. We flip on a flashlight. Instead of saying, Father, shall I go left? Shall I go right? Shall I go forward? Shall I stand still? What a life to live. But what if he doesn't speak to me? Father is more interested in speaking to you than you are in hearing from him. He probably has been speaking to you for years, but you just too busy. Well, some of you. And I was once, so I understand this perfectly. When you come to a dark place, don't strike a match. Light up. Rise and shine. Isaiah, is it 60? Rise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the God has shone upon you. And the kingdoms, the nations will come to your light. We just need to start shining, which means get rid of the denial, get rid of the things in our life, not those dirty little sins. I'm not worried about those. Your sin is covered. Your denial is what he has trouble with. You already are seated with him in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You are already where you want to go. How many of you want to go to the right hand of God right now? You're already there. That is, if you have been raised with him. That's tomorrow's message. Are you with me? I want this. Someday, I would like to be able to say, like Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow. If you've seen me walk, you've seen the Father walk, because I only walk where he is walking. And this path that I'm walking is not the only path he's walking. He's also walking a path over here and over there and over yonder. And you need to hear him in order to follow him in the path that he is walking with you. And so if you've seen me walk, you've seen him walk. If you've heard me teach, you've heard him teach. I'm getting there. I'm not there yet. If you have seen me act, you've seen him act. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, Jesus said that to the disciples. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Have you been with me all this time and you don't know me? And Jesus, here's the way I see that passage. You have been looking at me, but you've not yet seen what you're looking at. I would love to be able to say to someone someday, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Because I came to make the Father known by the scenario, the storyline of my life. Yeah, but I messed up. Well, what a wonderful opportunity to show people how gracious God is. Repent, let Him forgive you, and say, isn't God good? Even our sin glorifies God when we repent. Oh, I think I better quit. George knows I have trouble with what to do. I'm accustomed to classroom. Class is over, you know, go home. But in churches, that's not as appropriate. So I'm just going to let George decide what needs to happen here. But I want to pray for you before he gets up.
That's good.
You like that? Okay.
The question is, there are times, and you sort of answered it, and I got distracted and didn't get it all. But the question is, there are times when you have to make a decision. You got to do something, you know. The whole world's saying, don't just stand there stupid, do something. Well, I mean, you actually feel that yourself, you know. Maybe not you, but I do. And this is lighting my own torch, you know.
Yeah.
Best guess I got, I'm going to do this, you know. Or I can always look on Google and pick up about 25 answers about what to do in that circumstance. And so lighting my own torch, I'm good at. And the question, obviously, is how do I handle that? Because there are times when it seems like you got to do something. Stop stalling.
Do we have a few minutes for that?
Oh, anybody want to leave can leave now, but the rest of us want to hear the answer.
Class is over. You may leave, but I'm going to say a few things. Gospel of John, once again. Why am I not surprised? The very last chapter. We all know the story. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Now, that's amazing. Jesus has appeared to them twice after the resurrection. And they can't think of anything to do. I'm going fishing. I'm going with you. So they end up fishing. Now, that's the story. And they fished all night and caught nothing. And in verse 6, just as day was breaking. Now, John uses the time of day for his light theme. Just as day was breaking. Incidentally, in Isaiah chapter 60, where it says, arise and shine, the glory of God has risen upon you. That's a word for a sunrise. Day is breaking. Light is beginning to come. Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. It's amazing to me. Jesus said to them, how many times has God been there and done something and you didn't know it was Him? Until after, oh, that was God. See, we're normal. They didn't know. Catching children, I love this. Children You have any fish? No. Cast your nets on the right side of the boat. So they did. Professional fishermen taking advice from a stranger. And we know the big haul. Okay, when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it. Jesus already had breakfast ready for him. Ready. He fixed breakfast for those guys. Bring some of the fish that you just caught. So Simon Peter went abroad, hauled them in, 153. Now verse 12, Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Now here's what I want you to see. None of the disciples dared ask, which means they wanted to ask. Why did they not ask if they wanted to? They didn't dare. Why did they want to ask? Because they knew. Wait a minute. Does that compute? It computes in mystery language. And you've all been here. I really feel like the Lord is calling me to do this thing, whatever. So, I know it's God, I think. Am I the only one that's been there? I know this is God, I think. I am willing to stake my life on it, and I will not lose my life here, I don't think. I hope. I know it's God, but I don't know. It's God. There's a knowing and not knowing. It's a level of knowing that passes understanding, that they may know the love of God that passes understanding. It's beyond understanding. Do you understand? Yes. All we can do, George, and the rest of you, is just follow what we think he's doing. That's all we can do. And I will guarantee you, if you are walking in the darkness and not shining your own light and just doing what feels right at the moment, under his guidance, honoring his name, even if you do the wrong thing, he'll make it right. Because I trust him. I've made a lot of mistakes. We don't have time for me to tell that part. It's not that I'm in denial. It's that we don't have time to talk about the mistakes I've made, which God took care of and made good out of what could have been disaster. I am where I am today by the grace of God. That's what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. But I've not received that grace in vain. Have you received the grace in vain? Just don't just do something. Stand there. Having stood, do all to stand.
Stand there in the grace.
Stand there in the grace of God, and if you feel moved in a direction, go. Was that God or not? I don't know. We'll see. I think. We have to live in the mystery. Knowing but not knowing. One of the classic mystic writings of the Middle Ages. It's called The Cloud of Unknowing. Have you read it? Yeah. You've worked at it. Yeah, I know what you mean. The Cloud of Unknowing. Yes.
Can you give an example of I know and the part that's driving out?
Well,
I like having her here. No, she just said, hey,
give them an example out of your own life. Hilarious. She's the practical one. I'm the theology guy. Many examples I could give, but God has been speaking to Linda and I for many years that He wants to bless us abundantly with finances because we have a lot of stuff to do and simply cannot afford to do it. He's spoken that so clearly. And I have tried to make it happen and lost a lot of money. How's that for walking in the light? You want to tell that or you want me to? Okay. When we first moved down to Myrtle Beach, real estate was, way to go. We have some friends, actually one of the members of the church was a salesman for this big tract of land, and they were selling the lots, and within 1 year, you can sell the lot for almost double what you put on it. I mean, more than double. It's like $17,000 down, but it's a $170,000 lot. And then you sell it for $280,000 a year later. And we had friends that did that and built themselves a new house. And, well, God said that He's going to bless us and He wants us to have abundant finances. So we gave $75,000 in 2008. The people who were supposed to do the roads declared bankruptcy. The company that guaranteed the money declared bankruptcy. And it's just a raw piece of land that's not worth $25. We just got a, and we owed almost $200,000 with interest. Okay, go ahead.
But what is so neat is like about seven, we make a mistake. We struck a match. It wasn't $75,000. It was just 17, which that was all that we had.
Did I say 75? Yeah.
So that 17. Was a lot for us.
Yeah, that was a big one.
But, so we struck our match. But God is faithful. And about 2 months ago, we got a letter. And it said, paid in full. So we know, I mean, we lost the 75.
Yeah, make it sound big. We lost the 17.
He took care of that mistake by that debt has been wiped out of our, you know, in other words, it's no longer required of us. So He's faithful to us. And I know He's still going to bring it about, but we are trying to learn not to strike our own matches.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to give an example of that because of...
You want to give an example of your life now? Okay. Did that satisfy
yes,
your question?
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'll turn it
pray
to
you. For us now.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to pray. Let's get real spiritual now. Father, Your word is a light to our path. Open our eyes.
Amen.
With spiritual discernment to see the light and by the light to see the path. Even if it's only one step at a time, let us with courage take that step and move to the next level that You have for us. Not only as individuals, but as families, and as a church, and as a community of believers in the larger Rochester area. Help us to let our light so shine that our Father is glorified.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Fount. That's rich and very, very meaningful. Thank you very much. Just one item. Coralie, where are you? Would you come and get this? Coralie is the one that's coming. Didn't she pray? She'll be nice. She will have this clipboard with the names and times of when you're going to be able to receive prophetic ministry. We're trying so that you don't all have to be here at the first thing is tomorrow afternoon. You can work your way in at the time that you're scheduled. You can be here if you want to, but if you if you're not scheduled until 2:30, then you don't need to be here at 1:30. You come if you want to, but your schedule will help you. So would you make sure on the way out they can make sure that they know when they're scheduled. We've attempted, or they attempted. I'm going to say it's they because then if you're mad, it's them. They attempted to choose your. I'm not walking in the light. But they attempted to collect your time the way you wanted it. The difficulty would be when too many people ask for that exact time, and so some have to be shuffled around a little bit. But the game plan is to do the best we can and get it. Vic? Oh, okay. Coralie, would you bring the food clipboard back? Because there's a guy over here who wants to eat. All right. If you're still looking for that clipboard, maybe you can just do it on the way out. The table in the narthex, if you want to eat tomorrow afternoon, you can do that. Those that are doing the prophetic ministry tomorrow, prophetic ministers, could you be here at 1 o'clock? And we're actually starting at 1:30, but this gives us an hour to get our prophet's hats on and so on, and then we'll get underway at 1:30 as scheduled. Lord bless you real good, and tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, Fount's back on, and he'll tell us how to live the life. He's got it so figured out. One thing you don't do, invest $17,000 into land. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. If you are interested in a recording device, bring your phone or a recording device with you. We'll try to arrange for as much as we can do, but it's limited because cassette tapes have gone out of the business, and to put you on a CD would can't put on 4 CDs at once. So help us a little bit if you can. Thank you, Mitch. Bless you. God bless you. Have a good one.